Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the very first WrestleChat Radio's AEW / NXT report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW Thunder and NXT at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I apologize ahead of time for my voice. I've managed to contact a cold in my travels, but we'll be trying to do the best we can and get through this. So who really won this week's inaugural head-to-head competition between AEW and NXT? Well, that's really hard to say, and obviously it depends on your perspective, but what we're going to try to do here, we're going to try to break it down by various different sections. And let's first start with my overall impression of what AEW looked like. It was very clear at the outset of the beginning of AEW Thunder that what they are going to try to do is they are going to broadcast this as a live event that's being broadcast to television, as opposed to a television show. And there is a difference. If you watch football, that's a live event that you just happen to be able to see on the television. And yes, of course, there are certain things that, because it's you're watching it on television, you are privy to that the live crowd isn't and whatever. But in general, the whole feel of a football or baseball or basketball game, any sporting event, is that you're watching a live broadcast of an event that's primarily for the people there, but they're televising it so the people who couldn't make it there can watch it. As opposed to NXT, that runs itself like a television show. Yes, there's people there, but much like a sitcom with a live studio audience. We have a live studio audience, but it's really for everyone. It's really a television show. That's the difference. That's the initial difference that I saw. And that can be good or bad. It depends on your perspective. My first thought is you have an 18,000 seat arena that's filled to capacity, as opposed to a very small audience over in NXT. And the aesthetics of that is that if you're watching them both back and forth, the one that looks the biggest and the boldest and the most popular through most fans' eyes is going to be AEW, because they're going to see the size of that audience, the size of the stadium, and say, whoa, this is big time, as opposed to NXT, where you have a relatively small audience. Now, this is done by design. There's no question about it, because once again, AEW wants the feel of you're watching a live sporting event, where NXT wants the feel of you're watching a television show that has a live studio audience. So that was my initial reaction when I saw AEW and the way it was going to present itself, Mike. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. NXT, I'll put it to you this way. NXT feels like it would be more in competition with Lucha Underground. You know?
Right.
That's what it feels like to me. They're basically the same thing, right? Lucha Underground and NXT. Whereas AEW feels more like it'd be in competition with Raw or SmackDown, you know.
Yes.
Raw or SmackDown takes place in supposedly bigger arenas, right?
Yes.
You know,
much bigger.
Whereas NXT, if they're not on the road someplace, they're at Full Sail. Full Sail is what? Maybe 5,000 seats, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So, yeah, it feels like AEW is in more competition with Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that many seats. But anyway, the bottom line of the situation is it doesn't hurt them. It depends on your perspective. You've got to understand that if novice fans tune in, one looks small and more indie, and the other looks huge and more popular. One is going for that live sporting event feel. The other is going for a television show with a live studio audience feel. Neither one of them's wrong if that's what their approach is going to be. My issue is going to be this. It's very easy to sell out arenas, those arenas out, when this is the first ever TV taping for AEW, and wow, it's a special event, it's a moment in wrestling history. 5 months from now, are you going to sell 18,000 tickets when you're doing this every week? I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm not sure. Where we know NXT is always going to have the full house at Full Sail. And listen, that's a noisy audience too. It really depends on your perspective. I just think it's two very different approaches to how they want their TV show to look, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, NXT, and it reminds me back in the day, like an old NWA TV taping, like a little studio audience right there, and it'll also look like Lucha Underground as well. And it's more like a TV show type, like an indie crowd. And like you said, with AEW, reminds me of a Raw or a SmackDown. And the way this set up for AEW kind of looked like a SmackDown set with like two Titantrons kind of on top of the entrances.
My overall feel about the aesthetics of AEW Thunder is it felt a bit like WCW at times. It just felt a little WCW-ish. Maybe, listen, Tony Schiavone being there and all that kind of stuff. So let's talk a little bit about the announcing. Jim Ross is going to lend credibility to whatever he does. You either like Jim Ross or you do not like Jim Ross. Simple as that. Jim Ross can sometimes be a little over the top. Sometimes he can be extremely on point. Sometimes he can meander. Tony Schiavone, again, that's up to your personal taste. But they're professionals, and they came off as being professional, and that's the most important thing. Am I a huge, huge fan of a three-man booth? I've never been a huge fan of a three-man booth, not in the WWE, not anywhere else. It seems to me that it's just fighting for airtime. Excalibur, listen, is he a good announcer? I guess he is. In a mask, it doesn't appeal to me. It just doesn't appeal to me. It seems almost juvenile in a weird way. I'm a mask announcer. For what reason? I don't care for that. And we know what we're getting from the NXT team now, Mauro Ranallo and company. That's fine. So really, that's a wash, because it depends so much on your perspective and what you're looking for. Both people are going to do an excellent job. Both crews are going to do an excellent job. So that's neither here nor there. So let's get to the first match. And we got Cody Rhodes, who rightfully should be leading off the very first initial match of AEW Thunder, and Sammy Guevara. Cody gets huge, huge, huge reaction, as he should. But say whatever you want to say. The huge reaction is coming from the live crowd. However, if you're on the television watching it, this is not as big a match as Adam Cole, Matt Riddle, which led off NXT. And if you're a huge wrestling fan watching this on television, I think you're much more likely to be interested in Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. So I'm not sure this was the smartest move for AEW, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of channel flipping with some people. I'm sure there's going to be. And NXT made the move of pretty much going commercial free for that entire match, Mike, which was no accident. So that if you did start watching that match, you weren't going to flip the channels because there's no commercial to flip the channel through.
Right. And the fact of the matter is yeah, you're right. It's a bigger match because it's for the championship, but the other one was for a chance. The way I understood it was for a chance at the championship. If Sammy Guevara would win, which we can talk about what happened in the match in a little while, but if he would have won, he would have had a chance for that championship. And yeah, and as far as the commercials go, did you see what they did throughout AEW? They did that whole picture in picture thing.
Some of it, which
like.
I do not like. Don't like it.
Right.
Don't like it at all. Luckily, they didn't do it through all of it, but yes, that's true. So I think the advantage of the first match really goes to NXT, because that's a much bigger match. It's a commercial-free match. It was an excellent match. It was an excellent match. And we're not going to go match for match. We're just saying this was the opening. So, you know, I would say the NXT got a slight advantage there. Now, of course, Cody Rhodes gets attacked. Where I'm having this problem with AEW, at least on this episode. I can point you out two and probably three times where logic left the building. And this is WWE's baby when logic leaves the building. Okay? This is what we always get on WWE about. We need logical storylines. We need things that make sense. None of this makes sense with WWE, and that's why we pick on it. Now, AEW is a federation who wants us as fans to pay close attention to every detail. Remember when they were putting all their little clues in there, being the elite shows, and pay attention to every tiny detail we do because it's going to make a big difference? I didn't see that in this episode. No one came down to help Cody Rhodes, who is technically the leader of the entire federation. He has no friends. Where's the Young Bucks? He's being beaten to a pumice and nobody's coming down. And they're not coming down. Why? No one's coming down to help Cody Rhodes do this whole thing. Later, that's not the case. So logic left the building there a little bit. And while Jericho did a really good beatdown, some of it was through a commercial break, which was not good. My overall feel of this was, please don't tell me we're going to have another wrestling federation that just leaves loopholes in their storylines that make no sense. Jericho beating them down for a minute is one thing. Through a commercial break, grabbing cameras, taking pictures of them, nobody's helping them. Todd, that seemed a little funny to me, and again, it seemed illogical, and so I don't think it was that effective, because this is a federation who wants you to pay attention to every tiny little detail, and that detail just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they did that little split screen right there between showing Jericho doing a beatdown and showing a commercial. It reminds me of what SmackDown was, what they were doing, the same thing, like, I was like, I had to change the channel, to flip back and forth. Like I'll go check the other show out for a few minutes to flip back, and I just didn't care for it from the get go when they start doing that when they had on SmackDown when they first started
doing it. Yeah, the split screen. I don't like it either. I don't like it either. But the bigger point, I guess, Mike, is it logical that no one would come down to help Cody Rhodes to a 5-minute commercial break?
Well, no, it's not logical, and it's, you want to see the Young Bucks, but we know We know Dustin's there.
Right.
You know, where's we can ask the question now, where's Dustin? And we'll get to that later, but why didn't he come out now? You know?
Yeah, well, I guess we know why he didn't, but again, then I don't know. I don't want the whole show to be around how many people can attack Cody Rhodes in the first episode. That's all I'm saying. So we got MJF. He defeats Brandon Cutler. Listen, this guy's really, really good on the mic, and he can get heat from the crowd. There was a lot of botches in this match. One of the main botches is that Cutler appeared to hurt himself, hurt his leg. And it's very clear that he hurt his leg. And then MJF goes for the submission on the arm rather than the leg because he's, well, you know, he's actually hurt his leg. You know, it is what it is. This is going to happen in pro wrestling. And yeah, I don't fault anybody for it. It's just that, you know, I'm not sure how many people know who Brendan Cutler and MJF is. Are they building their star? Well, yeah, you know, this guy's good on the mic. They can certainly build him to be a good heel. But again, this is your initial show, and you got to put your best foot forward. And there was a decent amount of botches in this match, a decent amount of botches in a few of these matches. And, you know, this had the feel of a match that people would say, eh, I'm not all that interested in it. That's my initial impression of this match. I think they may be interested in the MJF character. I just don't know for a fact they're interested in this match, particularly Mike. So once again, the feel of the live event helps it, and the crowd was hot. That is AEW's strong point, and that's why I say you have to wait and see if they can fill these arenas every week. Because without that crowd making that much noise, let's just say this was held in a 5,000-seat arena, 3,000-seat arena, with people who didn't know that much. You know, that I know some of the people, but not all the people. Almost like one of these TV tapings they used to do for Impact in Florida. That would have been a disaster. That would have been a disaster. No crowd reaction. Quiet as a church. And so they need that. They need that fan reaction. They need to continue to make sure that those fans pile in. And, you know, week after week after week after week after week, they're definitely going to do it to begin with because it's new, it's fresh, it's exciting, and people want to be a part of it. But at some point in time, they're going to have to realize, much like the WWE did, we might not fill these places. It's not going to be so imperative that we go this week. And then I don't know what's going to happen. Matches like this are going to receive less fanfare, and they're not going to seem so special, Mike.
Right, you're right, and that's the thing. Now, I'm more interested in it, in that MJF character, you know, because, yeah, like you say, he's good on the mic. But look, this, again, I go back to what was going on in the early 90s before WCW became WCW, and they were having their shows, their TV tapings, all of them at the Omni on Saturday night. WCW Saturday night, you know, was at the Omni. What was the Omni? The Omni was about a 5,000-seat arena, whereas, you know, what you call it was taping in these bigger arenas, you know. WWF at the time was taping in these bigger arenas, and it was basically the same problem. Well, at that point, WWF at that point was almost on cruise control at that point. This was 1991, all right, and right smack dab in the middle of the Hogan era, you know. So, you know, they were basically they could sell out those bigger arenas, whereas WCW at the time was in the Omni, you know.
Right.
For those television tapings. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Listen, overall, you have to say that the crowd, just by virtue of the size, was louder and more vociferous and everything in AEW. This was a historic event, obviously. This is their first ever TV taping. This is big. But again, we have to wait and see. The ratings have not come out yet that I know of, but they're irrelevant right now. I'm going to go out on a limb and say AEW wins. But what does it mean? You know, if you got the chance to watch a historic event in professional wrestling as opposed to a show that's on every week for a long period of time anyway, you're probably going to choose to watch the AEW historic event, much like I did at the beginning. I switched back and forth some. Let's get to some of the surprises that we had. Well, number one, we should say the Hangman Page and Pac went on with their second encounter. One being in England, and Pac wins. Hangman Page is 0-2. Now, for a place that says, well, wins and losses are going to matter, well, that's not a good way to be. Pac had some problems. He had some botches, too, but he looks fine. It was a good match overall. It's one of their features, obviously. And the crowd loved it. Obviously, the crowd loved it. So that's good. What were the surprises? Well, the surprises were we can get to the women title thing. Listen, this is controversial with the Nyla Rose thing. I don't care. I don't care if it's a transgender male. I don't care. And here's why I don't care. Because wrestling is predetermined. So it really doesn't matter. Male, female, transgender, doesn't matter. Ultimately, the booker tells you who's going to win, and that's who's going to win, and that's it. So it really doesn't make any difference. If this was a real match, I would have a lot to say about it. But it's not. So who cares? Certainly not me. Our big surprises, of course, were Jack Swagger showing up, Jake Hager showing up at the end, Finn Balor over in NXT showing up, saying he's now NXT. So there goes the whole, as far as I can see, there goes the whole demon versus fiend thing. I guess they decided they're not doing that. Which, that puzzles me, because you would think that that's where big money would be, but whatever. So for the surprise factor, as much as I love Jack Swagger, and he's one of my favorites, a lot of people get on me about that too. A lot of people say, how is Jack Swagger one of your favorites? He's not that good on the mic, and he's not that good. I like Jack Swagger, and I always have. And I thought his character, heel or face, of the All-American, you know, we the people guy, I thought that was just awesome. I thought you could have done so much with that. It's ridiculous. However, Finn Balor back in NXT is going to win that. That's going to win that hands down. Because as much as you want to say Jack Swagger versus Goldust, or you know, Dustin Rhodes, I guess, as much as you want to say Jake Hager and Dustin Rhodes are going to fight, and that's going to be a big event, I got to tell you that Finn Balor, Adam Cole, or Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, or whatever, that's going to be a bigger event. That's just going to be a bigger event. And you see, here's where the WWE has almost an unfair advantage. The WWE at any point in time, can pull someone from their main roster, bring them to AEW, bring them back to the main roster at will. Whereas AEW can't do that. So AEW says, well, I know a lot of people don't know who we are. You certainly know who Chris Jericho is. And you probably know who Cody is. And you probably know who Dustin is. And the rest of the guys we're going to introduce to you. You know, we're going to make them stars. It's going to take a little while, but we're going to get them there. Maybe Jack Swagger, you know who he is. So we're going to bring him in. You remember him. NXT doesn't have to do that. Tomorrow they can say, hey, Kevin Owens is NXT, and people are going to be like, what? And that's going to be a big deal. Hey, tomorrow Cesaro is NXT. Oh, what? They have that advantage. WWE can take anybody at any time and say they're going to NXT on a Wednesday night, and that's going to fill that roster. and make people say, well, geez, who's fighting who in NXT? Wow. That's a huge advantage. Huge advantage for NXT. And AEW knows it. So they're going to try their best to try to bring in people like this who have some name recognition while they are hopefully building up people to make stars out of their own. Now, the ending bothers me, and I'll tell you why. Because here we have, once again, a logical loophole that makes no sense. John Moxley attacks Kenny Omega, and no one is disqualified? Why is this match continuing? What's the rules of this match? That somebody can just come down and take one guy completely out of the match? And it's not a disqualification? Why? That's a WWE move. That's a dumbass move. That's one of those moves that wrestling fans are like, whatever. Here we go again with nonsense and illogical crapola. So now it's a 3-on-2 match. Omega's no longer in the match, so it's the Young Bucks, Jericho, and LAX, basically. And why? Should this not have been called instantaneously? Disqualification victory? I think that was a huge mistake, especially for their main event, Mike, because, again, this is not WWE. This is AEW, who encourages their fans to pay attention to every close little detail because we do. And that didn't look like they did.
Right. That didn't look like they did there. And, you know, you mentioned, yeah, Finn Balor, yeah, it's a big deal, him going back to NXT, but again, that also, you know, that also takes off the table. It takes off the table the whole thing with him and AJ Styles and the club.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
So that there's that. But yeah, I like how they use Jake Hager. You know, I just don't like the WWE way this match went down. That should have been a disqualification. Should have been, you know.
Yeah, of course. A man literally took a guy out. He took one of the people out of the match, and there's no disqualification, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it took one guy out of the match for something, and like you said, it was nobody didn't get disqualified. That person didn't get disqualified in the match. It looks like it was a no DQ match. Or something like that.
Well, they didn't announce it. If it was, they didn't announce it. Okay. And we get the closing at the end, of course, with Cody Rhodes being attacked by Sammy Guevara after it looked like they had sort of been chummy after the first match. Again, Cody Rhodes is attacked by somebody else now. And out comes Dustin to make a save. And then out comes JK. There was a lot going on at the end. A lot. Might have been a little bit overbooked for the first show. So my overall impression on the AEW is it's a good first effort. There's got to be some polishing of the apple, so to speak. You've got to look back on this and say a couple of illogical things. Why did nobody come out to help Cody in the beginning, but they do at the end? Number two, why was there no disqualification? Is everything in AEW going to be a feud based on a sneak attack? Because that's what it appears. It appears that that's the way we set up feuds. You'll get sneak attacked. You'll get beat down. Five times in this show it happened. And that's fine for one show. It's not fine for 10 shows. Is this going to happen every week? Because that's really like basic wrestling. You sneak attack him and then you're in a feud with him. Okay. Well, I expect more out of you. I expect a little bit deeper plot lines than this. I realize this is the first show, but you could set the stage. And right now, I don't. The stage being set for everybody gets sneak attacked, some guys twice in one show, is too much. Just a little bit too much for me. I also saw that one of the announcers, it could have been Excalibur, I think. It must have been Excalibur, literally called MJF a prick. To which JR had to say, this is TV-14. Somebody's got to set the rules here. Because you are no longer freewheeling it, and the powers that be in the network can put your ass, you know, on ice. So you got to watch what you're doing here. You want to be edgy and cool and hip, that's fine. You start dropping, you know, non-TV words on them and watch what happens. Watch what happens to your sponsors. Watch what happens to you. Make sure you know what the hell you're doing. Now, we also got another surprise over in NXT, didn't we, with Tommaso Ciampa back. Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole sounds really, really, really good. NXT has the advantage of this. They've established their characters. If you're an NXT fan, you know who these characters are. Tommaso Ciampa walking out there gets a huge reaction because why? Because we know who Tommaso Ciampa is. As opposed to a beatdown that you say, okay, I guess this guy's his enemy. I'm not sure, I guess so, because he's attacking him. So they have that advantage. And I truly believe that the WWE's long-term plan here is to weed out the unused or underused people in both Raw and SmackDown and throw them on NXT. I can't tell you how long we've been saying Finn Balor belongs in either 205 Live or NXT. He does not belong in Raw or SmackDown. It's not his style. The matches are too short. He doesn't have a chance to show himself. He becomes boring and redundant, and he does the same four moves, and that's all that happens. The guys there are too big. He looks ridiculous going up against Braun Strowman and people like that. And WWE finally catches on and says, you know, maybe the best use for him really is NXT. No shit. Because now if you're a Finn Balor fan, and again, you know how many emails I got? People saying, how come you hate Finn Balor? I don't hate Finn Balor. I hated Finn Balor in WWE. And the reason I hated Finn Balor in the WWE is he's no damn good in it. Because it wasn't his style. He wasn't being given time to actually work a match the way he knows how to work a match. He was being underutilized, booked. And then when he was booked strong, he was booked ridiculously strong, where you're standing toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman, which is foolish, and only undermined Strowman. I wanted him put in a place where we could enjoy him for who he is. And now we can. So now, you're not going to hear me say all these bad things about Finn Balor, because he's going to be right where he belongs and he's going to be doing an excellent job doing it. This is the best use of Finn Balor. Period. And I wish they'd put Cesaro back there. And a few others. And maybe they will. Maybe, just maybe, they will. So my overall impression of this is I think AEW proved they can put on a good TV show. It's not perfect, but it's their first show. I think they've proven they're going to try to establish some stars. They're going to have to work on this Pac thing, though, because if he's going to go back and forth between Dragon Gate and once in a while I'm going to be up here for the TV show and once in a while I'm not, and I always want to win, then you might as well just leave him behind, because at least Hangman Page is there. Promote him. Make sure whatever you do, AEW, that you go forward every week, step by step, with promoting your own people. Because if you don't, all this is going to look like is WCW, who used to take WWE wrestlers who were on the verge, and, oh, they're a big deal, look who's here. Look who is in the AEW. You don't want it to appear that way. You don't want it to appear that our top star is their jabron. You got to be awful careful of that. I'm a huge Jack Swagger fan. I popped for seeing him. I would have popped more for seeing him in WWE. But nonetheless, the impression that you give matters. And the impression is, He's a has-been in WWE. He wasn't no good over there. Oh, he's going to be the big deal here? That's very WCW-ish, Mike, and they don't want to fall in that trap.
They don't want to fall in that trap, but what I did like with Jack Swagger is they made a point of saying, well, he's currently 2-0 in Bellator, you know?
Right.
He's this big monster guy, 260-pound guy. And look, he looks great. Jack Swagger looks incredible. I mean, he looks like he's maybe 250, 255 pounds, you know? I mean, he moved very well. He's good. And they call him a monster because, well, all the rest of the guys in that group with Jericho are the smaller type guys. He's the biggest guy in the group, you know?
Right. I just don't want him to fall into this category where they take the WWE's leftovers that WWE wasn't using at all and suddenly, oh, look who's here. You know, and you're like, okay, well, wasn't that? Because fans who aren't wise to what they can really do, they only know them from WWE. So if tomorrow, you know, AEW took Curt Hawkins and suddenly he's the main event guy, oh my God, Curt Hawkins is an AEW, people are going to be like, that's the guy I never want to match. Big deal. He's going to be big over here. How good are these guys then? That's, you don't want to fall in that trap. I'm telling you, you don't want to fall in that trap. You don't want to start looking like WCW, picking the WWE's bones of leftovers and make, trying to make them superstars. You don't want to do that. So they got to be very cautionary of that. The second thing that I've noticed is some of the AEW interviews are good. And then some of them are incredibly cheesy and come off really, really, really hokey. And you need to rein some people in a little bit, I think, and say, look, we're not playing this for laughs. We're not playing this for satire. Unless it's comedy act, can we keep this a little more focused? So I think AEW's proved a lot. I think they proved they can put on a decent show. A decent television show. They utilize their time pretty well. That was one of my main concerns, is how are they going to utilize their time? Are they going to be able to hit their marks and get their commercial breaks in and still tell their story and be okay? And they were. So that's a positive sign. But I think we have a ways to go before we see where this goes. My overall impression was it was good. It wasn't great. It's a nice alternative to WWE, but so is Ring of Honor, so is Impact, so is a lot of federations, so is Lucha Underground, and they didn't overtake the WWE. Now, granted, AEW seems to have a bigger fan base initially. And what's happening is they're getting a fan base of the smarter fans who say, well, we know that Jake Hager was underutilized. We know he's really good if he is used well, and these guys will use him well. That's the strong point of AEW, is that their fan base realizes whoever comes over here, Zack Ryder, if he went over there, or whoever's going to go over there, Ty Dillinger went over there and people realized, okay, he was very underutilized in WWE, but in AEW he won't be. So we're looking forward to seeing him. That's the majority of their fan base, but now they've opened it up to a wider television audience. So the majority of their fan base is sitting in those seats, not necessarily in front of the dial. And if you want to stretch that fan base out to your casual fan, you've got to make sure to build your own stars and not just take the leftovers. You've got to do it. So let's see if they can do that week after week. Shayna Baszler retains her belt. That was a really good match. There was a lot of good stuff in NXT. I don't want to really... I don't want to seem partisan, but I've always been sort of an NXT guy. And if you really want to put my back to the wall and say, which show did you enjoy more? I enjoyed NXT more. It just seemed more polished. It just seemed more credible. The match level, if that's what you want to call it, the quality of the matches were equal. The only thing that I can say for sure that AEW has that I think the casual fan is going to react to is 18,000 seats versus a few thousand seats. It makes a difference. The crowd noise, that when they pan the cameras and you see the huge amount of people there, fans take a look at that, casual fans, and say, oh, these are big time. These are big time guys. Then, you know, the WWE, they try very hard not to pan the camera around there because there's not that many people there. There can't be that many people there. They're noisy, but they're fewer in number, a lot fewer in number. So one looks big time and one looks not so big time. That's 100% for sure in AEW's favor. 100% for sure. But my overall feel was it felt a little, just a little WCW-ish to me. And I don't know if that's going to last week after week after week. We'll see. And we'll see if the fans connect with the broadcasting team, and we'll see if they build their own stars. And there's a lot of question marks involved in this. A good first episode, not a great first episode, a good first episode is encouraging. Let me see if they can do a good second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth episode. We'll know by the beginning of the year how AEW is going to fare in this war. But I still say the secret weapon that the WWE has that AEW cannot compete with is that anytime they want, the WWE can pull anyone they have and put them on NXT. I mean, you could arguably say, okay, well, you know what? We're going to pull top people. Seth Rollins is going to go down there for a few weeks. Roman Reigns is going to go down there for a few weeks. The Fiend is going to hit some wrestlers down there. You don't know. They could do that if they want to. Now, I know this draft, they're saying it's going to be brand exclusive and they can't go anywhere. Don't bank on that. If the WWE starts seeing NXT ratings underneath AEW, watch how fast. Watch how fast some top names get there. And suddenly they've woken up to the idea that, you know, certain people's styles are probably more conducive to NXT. Yeah, no kidding. No freaking kidding. Keep an eye out for Daniel Bryan, who on a recent broadcast said he's close to retirement, a couple more years. Well, what would he want to do more than to go down to NXT and finish off helping some people down there, huh? That's a huge name. Ricochet's about run his course. Is he going to go for any major titles now? It don't look like it. So watch for that. Make a return down there. It's possible. What have they done with Aleister Black? Nothing. Nothing. So if they don't feel they can use him, they could ship him right back. There's a lot the WWE can do because their roster is so friggin' gigantic. That's going to be something that AEW has got. It's going to have to contend with. Now, much like ECW was, where you get those hardcore ECW fans who are just like, it doesn't matter. As long as it's ECW, I'm loving it. You got a lot of those. But you're also going to have to get more than that, as ECW found out. You're going to have to get more than that before you get 1.9 or 2.2 million people watching your show. Because as popular as wrestling is, a lot of that filler to get to that are your casual fans, not your avid hardcore fans who watch anything, everything. There's a certain number of those, but you're not going to get above the 1.6 million unless you're getting kids who watch it now and then, families, people, teenagers, young adults who watch it now and then. They don't necessarily watch it religiously, but they watch it when they can, follow it a little bit here and there. You're going to need those people. Look out into any WWE audience and you will see them. And they, again, they range in age from late 50s all the way to 8, 9 years old of people who watch it, but they're not avid wrestling fans. I think AEW is going to be more the avid wrestling fan. And when you're on a major network, you need more than that. You need more than the avid wrestling fan to get above those numbers. So I'll be interested to see what AEW pulls, Mike, although I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'm sure they will beat NXT this week simply because it was the initial show.
Right. I'm pretty sure they're going to beat NXT again this week, but on, like I say, on a long-term basis. And plus, not only can they bring people from the big roster to NXT, but they can bring people from NXT UK to NXT.
Yes.
You know, which they've already started to do with what's her name, the woman, and of course Imperium. So, you know, so there's that, of course, and of course. I'd love to see them possibly drop Titus O'Neil, you know, to NXT. I think he'd fit there. He'd be a good fit. And, I mean, and basically I think he'd be used better there than he is here, you know.
Yeah, look, there's so many people. There's so many people they could drop that it staggers the mind. I mean, you could bring back Bo Dallas down there where he was popular. So many. Sami Zayn back down there where he was used correctly. And their names are ready. That's the thing, Todd, is that they don't have to create these names, the WWE. They already have them. And they can just cherry pick them and pop them into NXT's programming. And instantaneously, they've increased the watchability of that show or the marketability of that show because they've added names that we know.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, we like maybe the Ascension. They could go back down to NXT to repackage them and rehab them and like other teams or wrestlers like Curtis Axel, we haven't really seen in a while. They could rehab him, repackage him as well, and they could do that like other couple of wrestlers too.
That's why I think that AEW has to very clearly take a look at this and say, this is not about beating the WWE. If they focus on what do we do to retaliate because NXT is beating us a little bit in the numbers, they're going to lose sight of what they really need to do, and that is just draw your own numbers. Don't worry about it. The quickest way to fail for AEW is to try to beat WWE. Don't try to beat WWE. Just try to carve out your own niche. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It really doesn't matter. As long as you're getting good ratings, it really doesn't matter. The only time to panic is if you're not getting good ratings. But if they go about this with it really is a war, if they retaliate, they got Finn Balor over there and they might bring somebody else, we got to go get somebody. Quickest way to fail. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to beat WWE at that game. You're not going to. Because they have too big of a roster and too much control over who goes where. And at any time, they can bring anybody, any place they want to. You think if the WWE is going to sit there and say, AEW is kicking our ass in the ratings, we don't care. No. They're not going to do that. You want to see Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch? You might see it. But you might see it in NXT. Whereas AEW can say, we don't care. If AEW doesn't have the ratings that NXT does, all they have to say is, well, you know, we're a new federation. NXT's been around for years. We're carving our niche. We still got really respectable, good ratings, and we're going to do our thing for the fans that enjoy what we do, and we're not going to worry about it. And they can do that and get away with it. The WWE cannot do that. If the WWE is losing in the ratings war to AEW, they're going to look like idiots. And they're going to pull out all the strings because Vince McMahon's ego will not allow him to lose. So AEW has that advantage. No one's really expecting them to beat the WWE. All they're expected to do is put on a really good show for the fans that enjoy it. WWE, on the other hand, if they start losing this ratings war, Mike, they're going to go into panic mode.
Right. We saw what happened when, when WCW started to win, you know, we saw that. We saw,
right.
Well, we saw him kind of panic at that point, and then that's when we got the attitude error, you know, because
right.
He panicked, because Vince panicked, you know. Now, will AEW get to the point where they're making the WWE, in particular NXT people, panic? I'm not sure, but it could happen.
It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. Very interesting. Again, I just don't think the AEW needs to prove we got better ratings. All they need to do is say we got good ratings. We have a good fan base, a loyal fan base. We're happy with our ratings. Certainly, we hope to increase the audience we have, but we're good with what we have now. Our goal isn't to be NXT or the WWE. Our goal is to be another a successful wrestling federation, and we are. That's all AEW has to say, and that's all AEW has to do. But that's not the case for the WWE, because they are going to lose face, and they are going to lose pride if they don't win. Because they're the ones that's been around forever. So it could get nasty. I mean, and it could get to the point where we see major moves by the WWE, because they can. See, this is the thing. If I'm excited about AEW for one reason, it's because they're going to force the WWE. Force them to pay attention, wake the hell up, and make some good moves and put on some compelling television. When they had no competition, they literally were sitting back on their asses saying, eat what we bring you. Or starve. Now that another restaurant's opened up, all of a sudden it's, what would you like to see on the menu? We can do that. That's what competition does. So I'm glad AEW exists. And I think it makes a nice alternative. I do think that WWE, I don't want to say made a mistake, because they can probably win the war, but I think NXT fans take a look at WWE and say, why did you make us choose? Yeah, you can still see it on the network, but not everybody has the network. And I think fans are going to be like, gee, that was a sort of a very unclassy move by the WWE. WWE could have just said, they're no competition. Let them be a successful federation. I hope your fans enjoy what they do. We're just going to do what we do. But they didn't. They made sure they went head-to-head, nose-to-nose with them in an attempt to drive them out. They can say what they want. That's exactly what they did. They can say, oh, no, this was planned and it had nothing to do with it. Come on now. You honestly believe that? This is a 100% attempt to undermine AEW. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But I think AEW fans can actually take a look at the NXT fan base and say, well, what'd your federation do? They made you choose. They wouldn't let you watch both. They were afraid of the competition, so they confronted it rather than to just say, go ahead and watch it. We don't care. We're going to put on our shows and you'll watch them too. And they're right about that. So who won this week? Well, the ratings are going to go to AEW, I think, 100% for sure. I have no ratings, but I'm going to assume it's going to go to AEW. Who was the better show? Probably NXT. But is that really a surprise when they've been in business how long and they've had how long to establish these stars? Once again, Finn Balor walking back there doesn't mean anything if we don't know who Finn Balor is, but we do. Tommaso Ciampa coming back and staring down Adam Cole means nothing if we don't know the whole Tommaso Ciampa story, but we do. So that's the deal. The WWE's had longer to establish their storylines. This is the opening episode of AEW Thunder, where you're getting to know the characters, you're getting to know the plot lines, you're getting to understand what where everybody's coming from. It's the debut of a brand new show and the first season, first episode. And whatever show is first season, first episode, it's not going to be third, fourth season Game of Thrones. You know, you already know those characters. So if they pull all kinds of dramatic stuff in that episode, you're going to say, well, that was a great episode. As opposed to this new show where it was just a fair episode, a good episode. Yeah, because they've established their characters. Give AEW some time to establish their characters. Let's see if they can. Let's see if Cody Rhodes becomes a star. Let's see if Hangman Page becomes a star. Let's see if Kenny Omega becomes a star. Not a star among wrestling fans, a star among entertainment fans, because that's what you got to be when you're on a major network. Let's see if they can, they've got that extra something, that charisma, to establish themselves as top, top, top entertainment and wrestling personalities, and not just really, really, really good wrestlers. Because there's a lot of really, really, really good wrestlers that the fans don't take to so much. I mean, could anybody doubt how great Dean Malenko was? One of the best wrestlers in the world. Was he charismatic? Did people say, I got to go buy a Dean Malenko shirt? I got to. No, they didn't, because he didn't have that charisma. He just was a really good wrestler. It's not enough. You're in a different world now. You're in the world of a big time network. And they want entertainment value, and they want big name star. Look what Fox, you know, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Fox knows. We want Brock over here. We want Ronda Rousey back. We want Becky Lynch. We need these big names. Why do you think that is, if it doesn't matter? It does matter. So AEW is going to have to do that, Mike, and they're going to have to do that in the next, oh, I don't know, couple of months.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that in the next couple of months. And, you know, I'm going to treat this like any other Tuesday or Friday or Saturday or whatever. I'm going to go ahead and give both shows a grade. I'm going to go ahead and say you get a flat B for NXT, and I'm going to say, yeah, C+ for AEW.
Okay, fair enough. Todd, what's your ratings on both shows?
I got go with the same two grades with Mike there, too.
Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb here a little bit. I'm gonna say that AEW was a B-. I think some of the logical loopholes hurt them, but the wrestling was really, really good. The production was better than I thought. The announcing was on spot. And the fans were hot. So I'm going to give it a B-. However, I have to say that I think NXT was an A. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Everything felt like it mattered. Everything was on point. But then again, this is a show that's been running and running and running. They know how to do it. So for AEW to even be that close, B- and an A, shows that they can do it. This is their initial show, so you got to give them a little bit of leeway and say, let's see what happens in the next couple of weeks. We'll give them to the first of the year, and then let's see if AEW is putting on the exact same quality stuff that NXT is, because NXT wasn't to begin with either. That's what everybody has to remember. The first couple NXT episodes wasn't this. Anyway, we will be back here on Sunday with the Hell in the Cell pre-show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.